Can't wait. I'll be in the Dome tomorrow night as the Vikings hosting the Washington Redskins, and joining us on the Gas Stop Holiday Fan Line on the Vikings Radio Network, Pete Bursich. Hey, Pete, welcome back to Sioux Falls.
How's it going up there?
Hey, we're doing great. We're a lot of Vikings fans around here, a little dejected, but they can't wait for the game tomorrow night to see how they do against RG3. I want to talk first about after last weekend. We started hearing some complaining from the players in the locker room about things going on. As an analyst, how do you take that? What's happening in the mood in that locker room right now?
Well, you know, players complain. That's what they do, you know, and they do it all the time in all different areas. Now, most of the time, though, that's kept in-house. And, you know, like Leslie said, it's not good. You know, it's either one of two things. It's like, you know, has the head coach lost the locker room? Has he lost the players? You know, I look at Kevin. I believe it was Kevin Williams and Brian Robinson were the main two, or were the mm-hmm. two culprits, if you will. And knowing those guys, no, I mean they're not those kinds of guys. I mean it's a situation. I remember back when we played Carolina years ago when I was coaching, and you know, the defensive backs wanted the blitz. They wanted to get aggressive. They said that they had their man. They wanted to cover these guys. We gave them what they wanted. And then Antoine Winfield in the paper a couple days later said we didn't do enough to protect Fred Smoot. Well, it's like, okay, you know. You know, what do you do? But for players, I'm in one hand, you're glad that they're not happy with it. You know what I'm saying? When the minute that these guys as a team become content with losing, then you're going to have problems, and then you're going to have the kinds of problems that maybe 1 year can't fix, you know. You know, you never want to complain in-house. And the one thing, as a coach, you're always like, hey, if you got a question, come see me. You know what I mean? If you got a problem with the play calling, this is as an offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, come see me. Knock on my door. I'll explain exactly why we called what we did when we did. And if the coordinator makes a bad call, they admit it as much as a player makes a bad play. Everybody, you can't hold players accountable for everything you ask them to do and then not make yourself accountable for what you call. So, you know, coordinators make mistakes too, and they'll admit it. But, it's never a good thing. But, again, I think it has more to do with just frustration because the defense had been getting hammered week in and week out, and I think they finally did enough to win up until the last drive. You know, the offense giving up a touchdown in the end zone. I mean, when you score on defense like the Cowboys did, you win 90-some percent of the time. And that was the difference on that last drive. That was a big difference in that game. If they could have just gotten out of the end zone and punted the ball, the game would have been completely different. Or could have been, should have been, would have been completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you finally play a game close and you lose it, you know, guys are upset. You know, I think rightly so, but, you know, complain in a different way. There's a right way and a wrong way to complain, I guess. Does that make sense?
I was going to ask you, Pete, as when you were a player, did it ever get to the point when you were playing that you were frustrated as a player with something that was going on? And, I mean, is that the best way? Just go to your coach behind closed doors and say, hey, just why are we doing this? Because this isn't something that we're happy with?
Well, I mean, the complaints, that's what locker rooms for. And I remember, you know, when Dennis Green was the head coach, I mean, you know, Dennis, that was the locker room was for the players. You know, he never came in there. And, you know, if you complain in the locker room, that's what players do. They complain. I mean, that's part of the identity, I guess. You know, you're putting your body and everything through hell. I mean, you're going to bitch and moan about it. And that's what the guys do. but I would never in my life consider – I wasn't a good enough player to complain to the media about the coaches. Let's put it that way. You know what I'm saying? Jared Allen, you know, Adrian Peterson, you know, some of these guys, you know, they live by different rules. You know, Randy Moss is of the world and things like that. And, you know, for me, I was never good enough to you know, complain to the media about the coaching staff. I would have been gone the next day. So just never happened.
Pete, one more thing about the locker room, this Richie Incognito thing. Just real quick, your observations on what the heck is going on down in Miami.
Well, it's you know, those, you know, it's such a long story. It's hard to be brief. You know, as a player, I can't remember the name of the guy that he filed the complaint, but if I was him, I would have handled it a lot differently.
Tony Martin.
He did. Yeah, Tony Martin. I mean, it would have been different. I think Mike Golic had a pretty good answer to it all this morning. I agree with Mike and what he said. But yeah, it's something that's gone a little too far, you know. And as a staff to ask your player to get more out of a guy, another player. I mean, that's the coach's job. You know, that's why it says coach on your shirt. You know, you're the one that needs to be getting that out of those guys. And I've said it a million times that players respond to peer pressure more than they do from pressure from coaches. No question about it. When John Randall was around, I mean, guys would camp out in front of guys' lockers and just, you know, rail on them if they weren't given enough. I mean, Johnny would do that, but he wouldn't go to anywhere near the extent that this went. I mean, this went to a whole nother level. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's like old Senator Patrick Moynihan said, you know, when they asked him what is pornography, he's like, you know what, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. And this is a case where, yeah, it went too far, and how it was handled was funky. And but the NFL, it's this is the media, and now the media and the players have all taken over, and this thing's just going to get stupid now. I mean, it's going to get once the attorneys and all that get involved, this just gets dumb, and it's unfortunate, yeah. And that's life.
He's Pete Bursich, Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. You'll hear Pete tomorrow night right here on KWSN as the Vikings hosting the Washington Redskins. The game tomorrow night, the Vikings, you get two big guys who are out. You got Rudolph is out. Lodehold is out. Injuries are starting to stack up against this Viking team.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And then, you know, you're the two safety, you know, missing Harrison Smith and Jamarcus Sanford. You know, Chris Cook being out, I don't know if that's a big issue, you know, big deal. Xavier Rhodes, who knows about him? He's been nicked up. But, yeah, it's starting to affect us. But you know what? Every team deals with it. I mean, look at the Packers now. They got to deal without, you know, being without their quarterback for an indefinite period of time. So it's not an excuse. Tackling in our secondary and tackling overall has been atrocious. That's what killed us against, you know, Dallas. You got to make tackles, and you can't have two guys chasing a guy to a flat when Dez Bryant's running a slant and have him catch it for 60 yards on the last drive or whatever it was. I mean, those are the kinds of mistakes that those guys are making that have to get rid of. And with Washington, they're running the football. And this could be a run type of game, hour, you know, be over with in 2 hours and 45 minutes. I mean, they're making no bones about it. RG3 is not running the football like we had seen him in the past. He's not doing that. He'll have a few rushing attempts here or there. But he's throwing the ball well. I mean, Pierre Garçon is a legitimate possession receiver. He hasn't found the end zone much because when they get inside the 5-yard line or so, they're running the football. So, but a pretty productive offense. I mean, they had 500 yards against the Chargers, but they gave up 400. Their defense is hurting a little bit. I think they're more susceptible through the air than on the ground. But, you know, whether or not we could take advantage of that, we'll see.
You know, Pete, we saw Monday night how important a quarterback, the stature of Aaron Rodgers, is to a team. And, I mean, we've only had Brett Favre over the past maybe 10 years in 2009 that Viking fans have been able to find that lightning in a bottle. Now that Aaron Rodgers is out for, you know, possibly 6 weeks or so, they hand it to Seneca Wallace. Jay Cutler should be back for the Chicago Bears. Where is the balance of power now in the NFC North? Because you got three teams at 5-3. At the end of the season, based on what we know now, what is the pecking order in the division?
Right now, I think it's the Chicago Bears, number one. Without Aaron Rodgers, I put the Packers at three, put Detroit in front of them. You're going to see, wait until you see the difference when Aaron Rodgers isn't in there. And you talk about one guy changing a game. It's the one position where one guy can change a game unbelievably. You would never want to play an eight-man box against Seneca Wallace because you're worried about Aaron Rodgers. If Seneca wants to run the ball, then let him beat you with Seneca. Now with him in there, you're going to see some eight-man boxes, and let's see if this kid can run like Adrian Peterson sees 8-9 men in the box every week. It's not even the same game. It's a completely different game. The Packers are going to have problems. Trust me. I think that they're going to struggle. You know, the Bears, I think when they get their quarterback back, when Cutler comes back, they're going to be the viable option. Lance Briggs is a big loss for them, but, you know, they'll get him back. Their defense just knows how to turn the football over. Detroit, their secondary is just not very good. And if they face another high-powered offense, I'm not even calling Dallas a high-powered offense, but those guys trying to tackle, you know, Terrence Williams and Dez Bryant, it was a joke. It was horrible. So a team that proficiently throws the football I think we'll get Detroit's number. And you just got to shut down Megatron and keep the game close. So I think it's the Bears' division to win right now.
Hey, Pete, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. The time you give us here in Sioux Falls. We'll be listening to you on the game tomorrow night.
All right, anytime. I'm still waiting for that invite to go fishing.
Okay, all right, Pete. I'll get a hold of you, man. All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Go fishing with Pete. Thanks, Pete. Pete Bursich, Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.